Welcome, everyone. My name is Molly Marin. We're going to get started in just a minute. I'm the RTI webinar coordinator for the Technical Assistance Center. Flip over here to our slides. And just a few logistical reminders for everybody. Please use the chat box that you'll see on the screen to ask questions, or if you have any comments during the presentation, we will be monitoring that. Also, a reminder that we're hoping to have a series of webinars in December, our second strand, which will focus on the role of assessment within RTI. And information about the next strand of webinars, there will be four in that strand, will be hopefully on our webpage this week. And so just watch our webpage. I'll put our webpage in the chat so you have it. We'll also put a recording of today's webinar in on the webpage as well. So just check our webpage for more information about upcoming webinars. We're looking forward to the next strand. Today is the final webinar in our first strand of webinars that focused on the basics of RTI. Today's topic is planning for RTI, and we are very pleased again to have Dr. Daryl Millard join us. Daryl is from the University of Kansas, and he is also part of the staff of the U.S. Department of Education's Response to Intervention Team. So we're thrilled to have him join us, as well as Dr. Teresa Janzik, who is an associate professor at Buffalo State in the Exceptional Education Department, and she is also the principal investigator and project director for the New York State Technical Assistance Center. So welcome to both of them, and at this point I will turn it over to Daryl. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, and what a delight to have Teresa join us and really get us straight on the RTI framework within New York. And as Molly was saying, our third in the series of webinars, and having looked at kind of the big picture of what RTI included, and then some last week about the infrastructure, and now thinking about how do we move ahead? How do we think about how RTI might be planned and then implemented within our respective schools? So a couple points that, again, surfaced from questions that folks asked in previous webinars. You know, we've purposely chosen to look at RTI within the elementary school setting, and recognizing that most of the work around RTI comes from a stronger research base at the elementary school setting. And as we take a look, I guess it's really just a matter of time that we can't dive into a lot of the, what I'd say, the nuts and bolts of what you might do on Monday morning, you know, if you were to be implementing RTI. But to give you some of the research findings, the research directions about the RTI framework, plus what's been learned in numerous pilot projects, certainly as New York has conducted their pilot activities over the last few years. We welcome your questions, too, and as Molly was saying, using the chat there. A couple of the questions that did surface from last week concerned what do we have for the high school around RTI. So I included a link here of meeting the needs of significantly struggling learners in high school. And this document came from the National High School Center. And I'll bet you that the link won't work there, and I probably should have included the web address for it. That would have been helpful to you. But there are some materials available around high school level RTI. And then the second, the Best Evidence Encyclopedia, you know, last week I included results of the evaluation studies that staff had completed around curricular interventions at the Best Evidence or as part of their studies. And I did not include a web link. So it's included here so that you can look more carefully at curricular interventions that they were offering. And also in response to one of the questions about core curriculum that might be used for reading, just a general observation, and that is most of these core curricula now have been revised, and publishers understand the importance of integrating work on the five reading components as part of the lessons, and for example, providing more practice with vocabulary as it is introduced, and more practice with the skills that are being taught in those lessons. So it may not matter so much, but if you take a look at some of the other materials that have been produced, for example, by the What Works Clearinghouse, you would see reports around those core curriculum. For example, the Open Court reading series or Success for All would be a couple examples. So today, just to briefly, we want to review the RTI components, and then Teresa will talk about assessing readiness, and then some more about that district and school level planning and the first steps that would move you towards implementation. First, again, borrowing from the initial presentation around RTI, is to talk about that rationale and those components. So again, that when we think of RTI, it's about students' responsiveness. And so the work we do in RTI is to give us a better assessment, if you will, of students' responsiveness to the instructional and the curricular decisions that we've made in presenting mathematics, in presenting reading, writing. And based on student responsiveness, we have a sense of, were those the right decisions? Are we using the right instructional practices? Are we allowing enough time for instruction? Do we have the instructional grouping correctly? Those would be the important, some of those important questions. And we need to have data for making those decisions. So we want an objective framework for judging individual students, small groups of students, and then the class as a whole, which would, if you will, parallel the tier structure, the prevention levels in our RTI frameworks. So typically we think about four components around RTI. We have screening, we have tiers of increasingly intense instruction, we assess students' progress using progress monitoring tools, and we have databases of those data that help us implement decision rules for judging, is the placement appropriate for the student? Is the student benefiting? Is he or she making adequate progress? So decision-making rules helps guide us. And we can look at those RTI components in this graphic and see how database decision-making is at the core of those decision processes. And I don't know that I've mentioned this previously, but using those data is probably one of the greatest challenges that schools have confronted with their implementation. Folks are maybe used to collecting a variety of data on students, but then not using it to assess the learning rate, the progress that learners are making in a frequent basis, which is what RTI calls us to do. We want to know that students are making that progress appropriately. I also mentioned last week how a fellow by the name of William Reed said, you know, when we look at all the work that's going on in schools about improvement, we see that, in fact, there's a lot of stability. Where we might hope to see change and improvement, we see a lot of stability. And he said that one of those issues that we have is recognizing that there's a lot at work within a school or a school system not to change. And that can be reflected in all of those staffing decisions, the procedures that are in place, the schedule, for Pete's sake, you know, that exists. But that if we're going to work on this, one of the ways we have to approach the change is dealing with personal beliefs of those who are going to be implementing, in this case, the RTI framework. So we would suggest beliefs that exist from a school superintendent through the classroom teacher and the librarian and the related services personnel, because those are all critical about how well this framework is going to be implemented. And then also recognize that each of the individuals that I mentioned are part of a larger system, and that they worked out a relationship within the school, within the district, of how they will relate to one another. And so a framework like RTI, which touches so many aspects of what happens within the classroom, is also going to change the team relationships. So the relationships of individuals who will be sharing, for example, progress monitoring data, and be making a judgment about how well current practice is supporting learning within the fourth grade reading curriculum, you know, or any one classroom. So we want to be real sensitive to, it isn't just the technology that we're changing, but also individuals' beliefs about what we will do as a school in addressing the needs of students with low achievement, but also then how we'll work together as a team to have those improvements. So if we just stop and think about it, this is a huge cultural shift for most of the schools, and that it's much more difficult than any of the technology or the technology-related decisions that schools face. You know, which screening measure will we use? Which progress monitoring measure will we use? What will be our index of progress? Those are pretty comparatively easy technological decisions for us to make. But how we're going to work together as a team and you share those data can certainly be more difficult. The other example that we use from a shift in culture is that we're talking about all the staff in our schools, and we're talking about all of our kids. So that as RTI becomes integrated within the conversation of schooling, we'll see that teachers think less about teaching content and more about ensuring students are learning. So we can have content around Common Core State Standards, and the question becomes, how do I know the students are benefiting from this instruction on those particular standards? And then, as I say, all the staff believe that all students can learn. That's a significant shift in many schools, recognizing that students are more than just the students within your classroom, but that we're talking about all the students in the school. So we will look at all of our students in the school in terms of the data that we collect off our screening measures, for examples. And then being able to develop all the teacher skills around instruction of reading and math as well. One of the debate points often among staff is thinking of RTI as a prevention model, whereas maybe a more common conceptualization is RTI is about remediation, that is, it's about catching up students. But if we're going back to that first presentation, we'll never catch up all the students. We really need to be thinking about this as a way of preventing math difficulties and reading difficulties for the students. One of the elements in last week's conversation, too, was about developing a broad constituency within the school district. This is again addresses the cultural aspect, as well as helping build the individual beliefs of those persons involved so that they can move forward with the RTI implementation. So if we have a planning team of what we might mean by RTI and how this might be implemented, we want to be sure that individuals represented in the left-hand column are included in those discussions, because they are critical when it comes to the implementation of an RTI framework, and that this team will have many decisions to make. On the right-hand side are just examples of some of those decisions that a planning team would be considering as they move ahead. Sincerely, this is one of those most critical elements about making it work within your schools and within your district as well. At this point, I'll switch and have Teresa talk about some of the tools that they've developed in their work and helping you assess that readiness.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us the last webinar in the series of Basics of RTI. What I'd like to do for this short time is just to share with you some of the tools that we've used with our pilot schools. Because as Daryl was saying, there are a lot of decisions that your school district team and your building-based team has to make around RTI. And one of the tools that we found especially helpful in terms of getting our pilot school started was administering an RTI readiness survey so that we can get a sense of where the school is in terms of quality indicators or best practices relative to RTI. So I'm going to share with you the components of that and also show you some data that our schools have been using to really inform their RTI process and to really make good decisions about where they want to focus their efforts from one year to the next so that they can further refine their RTI model. So if we look at the next slide, and okay. So this document is titled New York State Self-Assessment Tool for RTI Readiness and Implementation. I put the access link that you can use to get a copy of this if you choose to decide to use this for your district and or your school. Ultimately, the purpose here is to really help schools or districts evaluate what their current level of readiness and implementation looks like relative to RTI. And our schools have been using the results from this tool to really target those areas of improvement within their RTI model. We're in our third administration. We're just finishing up our third administration of this survey over the course of 3 years. We've got pre-interim, and we will have post-test information about the RTI models that our pilot schools have been implementing. In terms of the logistics of administering this tool, ideally we prefer all staff to be included on this because, as Daryl mentioned, RTI, it's about all staff meeting the needs of all students in your building. So we really want as many staff included. At a minimum, those directly involved with RTI implementation. For the purposes of our pilot school, we really require everybody in each of the buildings to be administered and respond to the self-assessment tool. It is a fairly lengthy survey in terms of survey instruments. It'll take about 20 to 30 minutes, probably the first go-around. It's very detailed, and consequently, because of its attention to detail, it'll take your school staff a little while to complete. But the information that comes from that is really going to be useful to your RTI core design team when really looking at where you need to focus your RTI efforts on a particular in a particular area within the model. In terms of when, most of our pilot schools administer the self-assessment during grade level meetings or even faculty meetings. There are some schools that have an opportunity to post the survey online, and they use that, and then they allow their school staff to respond to the survey electronically. And that really helps, too, if you have that capability. I would recommend trying to do it online. You lose a little bit in terms of control over administration, but it makes it much easier to compile and analyze the results if it's done electronically. understand. So let's look at what the content looks like. We developed this tool, again, as a way to help schools really focus on what their RTI process looks like. We reviewed, the history behind this is as a consortium, the consortium members within the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center looked at what other states were using in terms of assessing RTI readiness and implementation. And then we also looked at the research literature in terms of what the best practices look like across different components within RTI. So we developed this survey along seven dimensions or components of RTI, and you have those listed here. Obviously, we want schools to take a look at their tiered instruction. We also want them to focus on assessment in terms of their screening and progress monitoring agendas. Daryl's been talking about infrastructure issues, which are really critical. Obviously, leadership is probably what we found the most important determinant in terms of whether an RTI model is being successfully implemented in the schools. Obviously, professional development is a critical piece of an effective prevention model, collaboration and teaming, as well as parent involvement. So when you look at this tool, you'll find quality indicators that are divided or categorized across those seven dimensions. The format of the tool itself starts off with just some brief information about the purpose and how the tool was developed, and then gathers just very limited demographic information about the building and the position of the respondent. We do not ask for names when we're administering this tool. We just want to make sure that we're getting true responses, and that might be best done by leaving out the names of the individuals who are your respondees. There is a glossary of terms specific to RTI because we found in our work that with any new initiative, there are new vocabulary that is typically introduced. And so as a way of trying to clarify some of those terms that may not be familiar to respondents, we provided a two-page glossary of terms that respondents can reference when they are taking the survey. So I mentioned before, each of the seven dimensions has a list of quality indicators that represent what research says is best practice within an RTI framework. And again, it can be administered vis-a-vis a paper version, or it can be electronic if your school has access to that capability. In terms of response mode, each quality indicator, a respondent reads the quality indicator and then asks to use a three-point scale in terms of response. A one response would indicate that this particular quality indicator is not being implemented in my school. A two would indicate that there's some partial implementation of that quality indicator. A three would indicate that this particular quality indicator is being fully implemented. The DK option is reserved for respondents who really are not sure or have very limited information about the particular quality indicator. That's instructive to have that information as well, because if you have some information about screening or logistical information about screening and you're getting a significant portion of your population that indicates that they don't know about a particular component of RTI, then that's probably a red flag that you need to do some professional development here. So getting on to, this is just, what I did here is give you an idea of what the format looks like, and I pulled some sample items or quality indicators from the tool. So if you look at the first row under tiered intervention, tier one, and it'll have the first quality indicator. The core reading program addresses the five pillars of reading, including phonemic awareness, decoding, word recognition, fluency, vocab comprehension. The respondent would read that quality indicator and then indicate under what box their perception of how their school is implementing that quality practice falls under. Okay, now under tiered intervention, there are about eight other quality indicators. But then you have another example that I provided under screening. My school district has an already identified screening benchmark tool that can be used to determine at-risk status. Again, the respondent would indicate, based on their perception, whether or not they believe there is no implementation versus partial implementation versus full implementation. The last particular component, which I provided a sample of, is the teaming and collaboration. And this one indicates that, you know, a building-based and or a district-based RTI design team has been established, and that membership on this particular team represents a multidisciplinary composition. So again, each of the respondents would indicate their perception in terms of implementation with respect to each of those quality indicators along or across those seven dimensions. In terms of the data analysis, it's fairly straightforward. What you would do is you would just calculate the percent of responses for each item or quality indicator for each response mode. And so a staff who responded to a particular item indicated not currently, again, under those response modes, you would just indicate the percent responding for each particular item. As a RTI design team, whether it's at the building or district level, the RTI team should really look at those scores and indicate where would be the highest need or highest priority. Now, when we started with our pilot schools, there was high need across a lot of those categories. So, you know, and we made a conscious determination not to start with everything or not to attempt to try to solve or implement or try to fix every component. We felt that assessment and infrastructure were probably the two most important components at the beginning of the RTI game. So we really encouraged our pilot schools to focus on those quality indicators under those two components and really identify where their highest priorities were in terms of the need, at the onset. So every year that we've been working with our schools, we've really, you know, they've gone, you know, slow and steady wins the race here. So they didn't, we didn't have them address all the components all at once. We just had them really focus on one or two that we thought were really critical and make sure that they had it pretty much intact before the following year they focused on a different quality indicator and a different component. So really, this is where your RTI design team or core teams really become really critical, because it's that group that's really going to spearhead the direction and the focus of your RTI efforts over the course of the next few years. And so I would really caution you to make sure that that RTI core team that you develop at your school and district level has a multidimensional composition, because it needs to include everyone from different disciplines. So once they identify the highest need or the priority, again, by identifying just three or four dimensions, again, slow and steady wins the race. And then what we had our pilot schools do is incorporate that information into an RTI action plan. And it's that action plan that really drives what the school or the district is going to do in terms of its focus within an RTI framework. If you look at the next slide, this is what the results look like when you do the analysis. And this is a particular, this is data from one of our schools. I think it was Milton Fletcher Elementary School in Jamestown. As I mentioned before, we have already ministered this tool twice, back in 2009 and then 2 years later in 2011. And we're just finishing up 2013. So the idea is to have some baseline information about these pilot schools, some interim assessment data, and then some post-assessment data as we finish our work with these schools. So what you'll see here is 2009 and 2011 data. And so what we do is we compare the results for each quality indicator across, the infrastructure component over the course of those 3 years. So if you look at the, I'm going to take probably number four. If you look at the quality indicator number four, RTI is featured within my school's improvement plan. So back in 2009, 6% of the respondents indicated that there was no implementation of RTI anywhere in the school's improvement plan. And then 24% perceived that there was about 24% partial implementation. Another 49% indicated that there was full implementation of this of the RTI model within their school improvement plan. And then another 18% indicated that they didn't know. Now, if you fast forward to 2001, you have 10%, so you have a decrease in the number of people that perceive that there's only partial implementation. You have an increase to about 69%. Of individuals that believe that it is really fully being implemented. And then you have 21% that indicate that they don't know. What we want to look here, what you want to see over time is that components or these best practices being more fully implemented over the course of the years. So this particular school went from 49% 69%. So, we see that as a positive here. Now, you'll also see that it went from 18% don't know to 21% don't know. But that was also a function of this was a school, a K through 5 school that assumed another elementary building. So it merged with a new elementary building merged with this school. And that particular elementary building had an RTI process in place, but probably not as rigorous and not as detailed as Fletcher did. So, again, this is what the data looks like once it's analyzed, and your RTI core team is going to take a look at this data and figure out, of these quality indicators, which ones may be the one that we need to focus our efforts on over the course of the year. Again, you're not going to be able to do all these quality indicators all at once. I would caution you to use maybe two or focus on maybe two or three. You probably are going to want to look at other components as well. So if you look at the next slide, I mentioned too that what we have our pilot schools do is to use this information and incorporate the information into an action plan. And this is what their action plan looks like. So, for instance, at Milton Fletcher, one of the specific indicators under the infrastructure component deals with the majority of the staff in the school support RTI and believe it benefits all students. Well, the current status, and this is data taken directly off their self-assessment survey results, 38% of them indicated that there was full implementation, 25% felt that it was partially implemented, and then 6% felt that there was no implementation whatsoever or no belief that the school was really fully supporting an RTI model. 31% didn't know. So they recognized that this is those institutional beliefs that really can compromise their RTI efforts. So they chose this as one of their quality indicators that they wanted to focus on. So what they did is they identified some strategies or some actions that they could take in order to remediate or to improve this particular quality indicator. So what this school has done, and I think this was this past year, or it's currently in, actually it was last year, they're going to use their faculty meetings and open houses to really increase staff awareness of the model at Fletcher. And they're also going to share with the rest of the staff the growth that their students have made over the last few years. They really have focused their efforts on the RTI process. They also recognize that as a result of having having students from another school merge with their building, that they have to do a better job in terms of providing an orientation to the RTI process for the new staff that's in the building as well. So again, they were focusing their efforts throughout the 12 and 13 school year. They identified their resources in terms of who was going to be responsible or who was going to make sure that these strategies were being implemented and what tools were they were using. They have a dynamite literacy coach that is very much involved in their RTI model. So Stephanie does a really good job in terms of PR and working with grade level team meetings and also does the presentations at the faculty meetings. They also have a website that they use to showcase their RTI efforts. And they have also used data forms, which they use to share with the staff in terms of what their student performance data looks like as a result of their RTI process. In terms of responsibility, we know that principal is key to all this, so she plays a central part in terms of making sure that, you know, this component of the plan is being addressed. Obviously, the literacy coach is spearheading this effort, too, and then their RTI team is also part of this process in terms of helping with showcasing their RTI process. Evidence of change, we'll see what happens because we're going to be doing the self-assessment survey one last time, and hopefully we'll see an increase in the knowledge of RTI model as indicated through their survey results. So that's just an indication or an example of how you could use this tool in order to help you plan and really in terms of how to help you get started with developing an RTI prevention model that's really going to address the needs of all students. In terms of math, we don't have examples of math, but you could probably possibly just add another item or two that's specific to math and include that in there. So this, again, it's something that is available to all schools. I did provide the link that you can use to access the RTI action plan. Again, it's just the action plan is linked to the self-assessment tool. So this is the basis of what our schools have been doing in terms of the planning for RTI. It certainly has been a tool that has been extremely helpful in terms of helping them focus on specific components of an RTI model within their building. And with that, I'm going to send it off to Daryl again, and he can continue.
Okay, so picking up here with part three, let's move ahead into some of the planning discussions that are important at your district and at your school level. Those of you who know Jim Eiseldyk, you'll probably recognize, he's not a fellow who was short on words, but thinking that, RTI is complex, and there will be some extra work involved as you move into this. But again, the teachers, the schools in which we worked would all say, we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to the system that we had before. So there's this payoff. Teresa alluded to the importance of the district being involved, and I wholeheartedly recommend this. I just believe we'd be a lot smarter, if you will, you know, working smarter, if we started this discussion at a district level. And there are five influences that the district has that you don't just have through the school. And one is the district can deal with questions of specificity. Now, they can say collectively, this within our district is the model of RTI that we will be implementing, and here's the framework in which we'll be working to prevent reading and math difficulties. Here's how we'll move this out from our elementary schools into our middle schools, into our high schools, how we'll get everyone together on this. Not to say that there isn't variation across schools, there will be, but still that this generally, you know, is a district initiative. The second very important consideration is that district decisions have a great influence on the stability within the school district. You don't want to be moving to an RTI framework when, what, you're changing half of the schools within the district and consolidating. It's probably not a stable environment for you to move ahead. And third, about consistency. That is, we can then say, well, the decisions we make are consistent with the RTI framework, and that requires, you know, district-level support. If you just have one, schools going at the initiative on their own, you can imagine that the district might have might make some other decisions that would make implementation more difficult. But certainly at the district level, if we say we are moving ahead with an RTI initiative, then everyone's together on that. Number four, speaking with authority and saying, this is the model, this is what we're implementing, this is the way we will go forward, and it can be represented in all of the district materials. The professional development, for example, that might be scheduled for the staff, certainly the communication plan that's put together to communicate to parents about RTI, that's district authority. And last is about the power. That is, can manipulate, can direct the resources, either obtaining additional resources or redirecting so that RTI implementation moves ahead. And then as a consequence of that, we have three very important results: increasing fidelity, increasing the immediacy of the effect, increasing, you know, the long-lasting change that takes place around RTI. So, again, you know, who's in a better position to think about a district-wide strategy for classroom instruction and organization, support for building a plan, identifying and spreading those best practices that are working in some buildings, and maybe identifying those practices that need more attention in other buildings. I'm sure you've heard us emphasize the importance of leadership skills, and certainly that's those are qualities that the district can help support. Building an information system to gather all of the students' progress monitoring data, screening data, and being able to look at that as district as a whole, and addressing accountability as you move forward. The National Association of State Directors of Special Education have several documents relevant for district planning of RTI. Here I just represent the three stages that they outline in their district-level planning document. It may be helpful for you to take a look and review this document. Coincidentally, they have a parallel document for the school-level planning that you might also find helpful on their website. So just kind of bringing this together. And maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but there are many camps around what RTI is and what it should be. I mean, I think if you spend a little time in the research literature, you'd see distinctions made around how RTI should be implemented as a standard treatment protocol or as a problem-solving model. Those distinctions, can be reflected in documents such as what NASD has put together as well. So it might be well to take a look at those. From your district perspective, here's your quick checklist, of what are we doing around a leadership team, developing our written policies, providing the schools with the supports that they will need for their implementation, specifying achievement and behavioral targets for the students. That is, what would be an appropriate target for our students at each of the grade levels? What would be status level indicators that we would gather or we would assess through progress monitoring? What would be the growth or the improvement rate that we would expect for students? Maybe that comes back to a question that someone posed last week or in part of last week's presentation when I showed some cutoff scores from CBM measures. The question was, where did those how were those developed? And they came from a national norming study that was part of the National Progress Monitoring Center. That was a lot of the work that Doug and Lynn Fuchs at Vanderbilt were involved in completing as well. But so here are just, again, at a district level, some indicators that you may want to consider as you work towards implementation. If we're going to change individuals' beliefs, if we're going to change a culture, we have to recognize that that doesn't happen by a mandate. So sense-making, and that is allowing time for individuals to develop their sense, to get their head around what we're doing in an RTI implementation, is very important. And what we understand from looking at implementation at probably 200 schools across the country is this just takes time, not just to implement the technologies of screening and progress monitoring, but to help change the attitudes, the belief systems, the norms of behavior that lead to full implementation as you move ahead. So I'm making a pitch here that if you take the assessment tool that Teresa was describing and have discussions around those indicators, that can be an important first step. The rating can tell you kind of where you are, but then having the discussion about what's the priority and where should we move ahead is equally important. Don't just use the numbers as we think about implementation. Again, borrowing from so many questions around middle school implementation, some of the key findings we found from that study of, well, very specifically, 40 middle schools and then an in-depth study of 12 schools, that building level leadership was critically important, being very clear and transparent about the communications that are taking place, being sure that folks are involved in those communications, providing the professional development opportunities, the time for human sense making, if you will, having the leadership team, and making the database decision making part of the routine. Monday morning, and I forget, it was a school in Idaho where that was the first meeting of the day, was the data team meeting and looking at the data that had been collected the previous week in progress monitoring, for example, and making decisions about students. Well, here are some questions that you may want to consider as you move ahead with your RTI implementation. I'm just going to skip those and let you kind of come back to those, but they are all part of the decisions you'll have to make with your implementation. New York, you're outlined with three tiers or three layers of those services, so that you have some good guidance materials around an item like that. But you get down to number five about what happens to those students and makes very slow responses. What do we do? How do we make decisions? How low of a response is low, you know, or to indicate unresponsiveness, and what we should do next? All important for, as schools move ahead. So we'll come back to good old H.L. Mencken's note that for every complex problem, there is a solution that is simple and neat and wrong. You'll have many opportunities to consider how well you're moving on implementation and how you might improve that implementation as you move across grades, you move across subject areas, as you move across schools as well. In this section, we want to move into those implementation steps. And by implementation, we'll borrow from Dean Fixon and his colleagues' work and saying, well, those implementation activities are designed to put practice, put into practice an activity of its with known dimensions. And so we have dimensions around the components of RTI, the screening, the progress monitoring, the database decision making, right? So we have those well specified in several of the models that, that might be considered as you move ahead. When the National Implementation Research Network was looking at stages of implementation, they identified this list of six stages. Most of the literature you'll see has kind of shrunk or collapsed these stages. Certainly the document I showed you from NASD, you know, had moved it into three stages, for example. But an important point is thinking that you may require 2 to 4 years to move from that initial exploration to a stage of what you might consider full implementation. And of the schools with whom we'd worked, and some of those had, well, at least 4 years of experience, they all commented, we're not finished yet. We really don't have this as smooth as we would like. So it has enough complexity to keep you moving. When Dean Fixon and his colleagues think about implementation, they consider two sets of activities. One's that intervention activity, and you may think of the intervention as the screening tool. You know, you may think of it as the particular tier two reading intervention, right? That, and then with that set of interventions, screening as an intervention or progress monitoring as an intervention or database decision making as an intervention, you have an intervention outcome. And then the second set of activities that are particularly highlighted in their work is implementation. And that to say that we have a set of interventions that we want to use, but we also have implementation activities to be sure that they are used. And you may recall from last week's presentation, we talked about fidelity of implementation. So they also have some implementation outcomes. If we take a look at the these implementation and intervention activities, we can say, well, we have interventions that are effective and not effective. We have implementation that's effective and not effective. If we match up and we're effective on both counts, we have improved outcomes. That's clear. If we have a great intervention, but it isn't used effectively, we'll have poor outcomes. And then we'd hate to see that example where we have an intervention that doesn't work, and then just the outcomes may be variable, will be variable most likely, and often ineffective as well. So we want to remove those non-effective interventions. Thus, we put a special emphasis on using evidence-based practice and having data to guide our decisions. So what will lead us to improved implementation? We know that dissemination as an activity alone won't give us solid implementation. We know that training and professional development alone can give us a boost. It can certainly improve over what we would get by just a dissemination activity, but we also know that it's insufficient. But these are the approaches that are most commonly used. We know that policies and laws aren't always obeyed, don't always lead us down the road, neither does just having funding available support it. But what seems to improve implementation is a combination of measures, being sure that the framework is distributed to the participants, being sure that professional development and coaching is provided, be sure that feedback and consultation is available. So the quality of the support is very important for the level of implementation that you get. In that literature, they identified 7 drivers, if you will. Let's think about another way to say drivers. A synonym for that might be, well, what makes a difference then? What are the 7 components that might improve our sustainability? What are the 7 actions that might take place within a school district or a school that would improve sustainability? And if they're listed on the right, but also I want to remind you about what Reed was telling us in terms of personal beliefs and cultural norms, and then what the human sense-making from Spillane, Reeser, and Reimer were saying as well. So staff selection is critically important. Professional development, the ongoing coaching to support teachers, the performance evaluation changing to reflect the intervention that you're wanting to put into place, having data and data management tools to support decisions, having administration that supports them. Clearly, we've emphasized the role of leadership, and then thinking about systems intervention. That is, what else outside of our school might support our sustainability of an RTI framework? What else might we do outside of our schools? How could we, for example, build community support, or what are the collaborations we can make within other organizations within the community that might support an RTI framework? Quickly, just moving through those stages of implementation that the RTI Center was using as their guidance for implementation. Just review those so that when you are considering, that is, when you're exploring what you might do, you want to think about the focus of the work, the culture, and the leadership. So the focus would say, well, why do we want to use RTI? What would be the benefit we would expect to accrue from using RTI? We think about the school culture. I think I've put several slides into the presentation saying it is a cultural shift within most of our schools, and we have to be sure that our teachers' views, our parents' views are aligned with that cultural shift. And we know that building level leadership is absolutely critical. None of the schools have sustained a high quality implementation without strong building leadership as well. So in the previous presentation, we talked about the importance of broad participation, substantial agreement on the framework that you're going to put into place. Those are important for changing beliefs and building a culture. We want to have that systemic leadership so that everyone's involved in making decisions as are appropriate, and being clear what are the observable changes that we would expect to see if we have solid implementation. When you have your planning meeting, these are 5 questions that you might want to consider in that staff meeting, in that planning meeting. Not to say it's where you'd begin, but I think you can move these questions into the discussion to support broader implementation. The second stage is about planning. planning your implementation. So we want to build staff knowledge. We need to be sure that professional development is ongoing, and we want to be sure that there's support for those individuals. So the key actions for this, developing the staff's understanding and buy-in, is being clear about the purpose and the goals, having a plan that you can say, you can put on the wall, if you will, and share with members of the staff and with the community, ensuring that communication works, is available to you. Listening to those concerns, I'm going to come back to the human sense making. That staff, when they raise concerns, are really working to make a shift in their way of thinking. So they're going to express those concerns as well. Work on that shared vocabulary, as Teresa was talking about, a shared glossary of terms. Professional development, in helping folks understand and build their understanding of the RTI framework, about the interventions, about students' progress monitoring, and very importantly, using data to make the decisions. The plan development, having teams put together a timeline, have their clear goals and a schedule, being able to identify the staff members who will lead those implementation activities. Remember the point about systemic leadership. This doesn't all fall on the building administrator or on the lead teacher, the department head. All of our staff members have to be involved, again, because this is a significant cultural shift as well as the personal shift. Coaches are an integral element. You saw coaching as one of the seven drivers for implementation. When it comes to implementation, I'm just going to kind of pick up on the point that Teresa was making. You can't do everything at once. You really have to choose. And in our work, we saw folks building on one component or on one small group. The essential component framework was to say, we know we need to get screening and progress monitoring, database decision making. We know we need to get a tier structure for our intervention, but where will we start? And frequently, the school started with screening, recognizing that the screening data gave them a good picture of their school overall and what they might be thinking in terms of an intervention. So, okay, that was the basis for starting with screening. And then the administrator role was helping the planning team work on a timeline for the implementation, being sure that the professional development was available, and being sure that that makes sense for the school based on the tools, the structures, the schedules, the available resources to support that component. The alternative to the school-wide framework of one component is to say, let's start with a small group. And some schools started with a pilot group, if you will, and that could have been around one skill area, such as reading, and say, we're going to begin with screening in the area of reading, and the interventions will be targeted towards reading as well as our progress monitoring, so that you get one group of the staff seeing how it might work as well. Then the administrators were involved in being sure that the data were collected and were being integrated well within the school as they moved ahead. And then developing a plan that involves scaling it up to other classes and other grades. There was remarkable variation across the schools on the implementation. I think the feedback that we frequently heard was the small group, you know, had some advantages, but they felt like it was, in the long run, really was not the way to go. Maybe that it just kind of led to more, fractional staff, so that they... there was a we group or an in group and an out group. Well, if you're in, then, of course, you're part of the intervention. If not, you were in the out group. Someplace you're going to have to hopefully anticipate what the biggest challenges are going to be as you think about an RTI implementation within your school. You know, just developing a list of those hot button issues or just those challenges can be very helpful for you as you make that planning. And then also knowing, well, where do we see the difference to be made? What will an RTI implementation help us accomplish that we're not currently doing as well as we might like? The center in our work with state departments of education and school districts put together an integrity rubric and a worksheet. It builds in part on what Teresa was saying for the planning document. So this tool helped assess the degree of implementation of those components. I've included on this slide a reference to Washington State, where they had been collecting these data to support their implementation efforts there. I don't want this to be confusing with what Teresa was offering, and it that might be best if you just kind of take a look at what we're evaluating here. So it's in this example, screening, and saying if we have the indicator that the screening measure accurately identifies students at risk, you know, you saw that in Teresa's slide, then here's the rubric for evaluating screening tools within the school. That is, on a scale of 1 to 5, where 5 is clearly where we want to be, some of the schools are back on a number 1, and we just have screening measures that lack sufficient evidence. Or if we're thinking about universal screening as a procedure, where screening is conducted for all of our students, and that the procedures are in place to ensure that implementation occurs as intended, that, for example, there's enough time for screening and staff are trained on the screening tools and the interpretation. So this may be helpful for you to consider. Maybe it would be valuable to use alongside the capacity tool that Teresa was describing. So, you know, as we kind of come to an end about this discussion of RTI and planning the implementation, again, I encourage you to look for those evidence-based practices. I hope we've identified resources from the center and other publicly available documents that will support your implementation. We know that folks kind of get comfortable with a set of procedures that may not be as solid, as evidentially based as one would like. But you might as well begin with something that's already demonstrated its success, and know that as you implement it, you're likely to have a little drop in its effectiveness. It's kind of like, well, we test a medicine or a surgical procedure under very controlled laboratory conditions, and when we move it into the general population, we know that there's a little bit of a drop-off for one reason or another. And so if we anticipate that, we know we want to start with the darn best procedures and curricular materials that are supported. And then know that the essential elements and the framework need to be implemented with integrity. So having consideration of the high quality of implementation is very important as you move ahead. How will we assess the adherence, the student engagement? How will we assess the program differentiation, the quality of the implementation? Those are critical for all of the elements the essential components of RTI, not just the interventions of a reading program or a writing program, for that matter. And then knowing that with the diversity in our schools, the cultural, linguistic, socioeconomic factors certainly create a great deal of diversity, and that the RTI framework, we hope, would be accommodating to that diversity as well, but not sacrificing the quality of that implementation. There were several questions again about middle school RTI, and I thought I'd reference a book that Evelyn Johnson and her colleagues, Lori Smith and Monica, put together around RTI. I think that you would find it very valuable as you look to for implementation of RTI in a secondary setting, especially in middle school as well. And then, again, some of the research articles that we have completed from the studies of elementary school and middle school implementation. Wow, this is the third webinar, but I thank you. This has been a good experience, you know, for me to get back into this literature and seeing what's new, what's out there that would help your implementation. So I hope this goes well for you. It isn't overnight. You just can't open a package and do RTI. I hope you have that sense of it's a process that will take you a few years. But again, the schools who implemented it did not want to go back to the way they had done things previously. So I thank you for your participation and your thoughtful questions as we've gone along. They've been very informative.
Thank you, Dr. Millard and Dr. Janczyk. I did put a link to our survey, the evaluation survey, in the chat box. If you could take a few minutes to complete that, we would appreciate that. Thank you all so much for attending.